Open your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. It's good to be back here. It's good to be back here with you. It's just spent 3 weeks in Florida. Beautiful 87-degree weather. Now, before you hate me, just realize this. Tomorrow morning, my wife and I leave here and go to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So it has its positives and it has its negatives. And we're looking forward to going up there. My wife has made a big sacrifice, not only to be here and go to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but I left my glasses and she's allowing me to borrow hers. So she has to trust that what I'm saying this morning is real. She can't tell. She can't read. So whatever I say is true. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. The Lord will add his blessing to his word this morning. When we come to the book of Daniel, we can come to this book many different ways. First of all, we can come to the book of Daniel and look at it prophetically. That is, we can look at it and we can look at all the different visions, and there are many wonderful visions in this book. We can look at the different visions. It's still true today. And I think when you see that, you can rejoice. When you see how powerful and sovereign God is, I think you'll really rejoice. And I think that's really what we're missing in the book of Daniel. What is it that God's trying to do? Well, first of all, we have to realize this, that the book breaks up into two halves. The first six chapters make up one half of the book, and the second six chapters make up the second half of the book. In the second half, we have really some great, great visions. Really, that's what's in the second half of the book. Great and wonderful, mysterious visions of God. But in the first six chapters, and this is what we want to look at this morning and tonight, I wish we had 7 days to do one in each day, but we don't. We'll try and compress it and try and make it really where it's maybe small, but you can see what God's trying to do and get an idea of what God's trying to do and get excited about that. I believe that God is trying to do something in the first six chapters that He's tried to do every day of human history, that He's trying to do today, and I think it's so wonderful and so practical that we just have to stop and ask ourselves, what was God trying to do? I mean, in those first six chapters, what takes place? Well, in chapter 1, we have young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we find this, that God was trying to do something in chapter 1 with them purposing in their heart not to eat the king's food and defile himself. Then in chapter 2, we find Daniel alone with the king, and he's asked this, I had a dream, tell me the dream. And when you're done telling me the dream, tell me what it means. And God gives Daniel the revelation of that dream. What was God trying to do there? What is God trying to teach there? Then in chapter 3, after that, we have the big image that he makes. And he says, now everybody will bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we won't bow down. Well, then you'll just have to die. And we have the fiery furnace. What's God trying to do in the fiery furnace, in the revelation of the fiery furnace? Then in chapter 4, you'll find this. Nebuchadnezzar learns that man without God is nothing more than an animal. That's all that man lives like. You know, when man lives without God, he lives nothing more than an existence of an animal. I shouldn't say he's nothing more than an animal. He is more than an animal, but he lives like nothing more than an animal. You know, God didn't make Nebuchadnezzar get on his hands and knees for 7 years to make him lower than a man to humble him. He did so to show him in humility what man is without God. It was a true picture. And you know, we live in a day and age when man has rejected God in our country. And listen, we're living no more than like an animal. No more. Matter of fact, animals are better sometimes than man is today in our day and age. But listen, finally, it says this. He turned his eyes to heaven. And in another chapter, we're told this, that the lion, which he was a picture, which is a picture of him, was made to stand upon his feet and given a man's heart. I believe that he became a Christian. Let me put it this way. I believe that he was converted. Then in chapter 5, what we have is this. Belshazzar. And Belshazzar says, though, you think my grandfather was something. I'm not like him at all. You take those vessels out of the temple, I'm going to drink out of them and make a mockery, because to me life's a party. What's God doing there by revealing those events? I believe you have to study chapter 4 and 5 together. And here's why. When the gospel goes out, there'll be people like chapter 4 who, after turmoil and the working of God in their life, will believe it and turn their eyes to heaven. But I believe also that you'll find there'll be people like chapter 5 who, in the hardness of their heart, think life's a party and say, forget it, we'll make a mockery of God. And God says, your party's going to be broken up tonight with destruction and death. Judgment is waiting at the door. Have a good party. You know, there's a group of people today, a lot of them, and they live that way. And they'll even say this, life's a party. You know what God's answer is? You found me and you've weighed me and you've said I'm not worth keeping in your knowledge and you're going to have a party instead. Well, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what God says. God always will have the last say, you know. And He said this, I've weighed you, and I found you lacking. You know what matters today? Not what man thinks about God. Don't ever fall for that one. What matters today is what God says about that man. Chapter 5, he makes a mockery of God, and judgment comes. And then in chapter 6, we have Daniel in the lion's den. What's God doing there? I believe in those first 6 chapters, God's doing what He's tried to do all through human history. And I believe that God is trying to do that today. The only thing we have to do this morning and this evening is figure out, what is He doing? What is He doing? Beloved, this should thrill your heart. Because this is exactly what He's trying to do in your life and mine. What is God trying to do? Well, let's start by just saying that Daniel's name explains a lot about what God is trying to do. What God is trying to do is this. Oh, I won't tell you. Daniel's name means God rules. God rules. When Daniel stood up in Hebrew and he said, Hi, I'm God rules. That was an incredible statement. Incredible. You see, the whole book of Daniel, what God is trying to do, I'll just tell you because it's too hard to contain. God is simply, in the book of Daniel and every day of human history, trying to reveal Himself. Let me say it again. He is trying to reveal Himself. God in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 is going to reveal Himself to Daniel. Because God always starts with the individual. Before He can reveal Himself to this country, before He can reveal Himself to this world, take it down this way, before He can reveal Himself to the people in Asheville, before He can reveal Himself to your neighbor, He has to reveal Himself to you. God desires and God is working in your life through the events of your life to reveal Himself to you. And then, when He does reveal Himself to you, He will reveal Himself to others through you, through the same experiences. And so in chapter 1, you have something happen, and in chapter 2, something else, and it builds, and it's just like stairs leading up to a great crescendo to where in chapter 6, the highlight is this. How can Daniel live the way he's living? You know what perplexed them? Do you know why Daniel went in the lion's den? Because of his life. It was the life of Christ. It was the God life that was seen. And that's the apex of being of the vessel by which God reveals Himself to a world. God wants His life in you to reveal Himself to a world. And Daniel's going to go into the lion's den because of that. They're going to scratch their head and they're going to say, listen, what's wrong with this dad? And they're going to look back over his 70 plus years and they're going to say, we can't find anything wrong with this guy except that we use his religion. And so they'll make a lie. And I believe that in Daniel chapter 6, you have in type one of the clearest illustrations prophetically of the Lord Jesus, His life, His death, His false arrest, His burial, His resurrection in that lion's den that you can clearly see. Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful sign. But listen, before what we need to realize this morning at the very beginning is this. What is God trying to do in chapter 1? He's trying to reveal Himself to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's He trying to do in chapter 2? Well, now that He's revealed Himself and He's got them on step A, He's going to take them to step B and give them a revelation. And then in chapter 3, he's going to take him to step C and then step D. And what you'll find is it's a marvelous work of God in the life of Daniel through to the others in Babylon, so that every generation around Daniel is going to see God revealed. Do you know when somebody comes to you and say, what's the purpose of human history? What do you tell them? Why, it's a great spiritual battle between the angels and between God. And Daniel bears it out because there's an angel behind Persia. No, that's only the peripheral. You know what the purpose of human history is? God desiring to reveal Himself. You need to realize that. We run around like, you know, how is God going to witness to these people, and how will God witness to those people? This is the answer, beloved. If you understand the working of the first six chapters of this book, you're going to understand how God does it. God wants to reveal Himself to this world more than you want to witness for Him. I hope you realize that. We sit around and we have conferences on witnessing, conferences on tract giving, and conferences on these things, and yet what we don't realize is, listen, it's not too hard. God wants to do it more than you do. God wants to reveal Himself to you more than you want to know Him. And God wants to reveal Himself to this dark and black and evil world more than you want to witness for Him. The question is, how does He do it? Well, Daniel, the first six chapters, is how He's doing it. And He puts it in this great book with human history because He wants you to realize that the whole purpose of human history is that God desires to reveal Himself to this world. And when you get a glimpse of that, you won't sit around wondering about how to witness. You just live your life. Can I just tell you that one of the summaries of this book is this? When you look at the life of, and here's the point, sometimes we focus on the symbols and we don't see old poor Daniel. It's called the book of Daniel. Read it as this. I'm going to read about Daniel. And take your eyes off of all these little figures and off all the images and off of all the miracles, because you can get hung up on it. And you're going to start to look at Daniel and say this, what is God doing in Daniel's life at this moment? And focus on what God's doing in Daniel's life. This is what he's trying to do. Watch this now. You look at the life of Daniel. If you were to say to Daniel, Daniel, this morning we'd like an autobiographical testimony. Could you stand up for this assembly, this chapel here, and give your assembly? He would stand up and say, well, listen, in chapter 1 I ate some vegetables for God. Oh, really? Some of us would find that difficult. Bring out the Brussels sprouts. No way. Not me. I'm not eating those things for God. He just ate vegetables. You say, that's not so exciting. What did he do in chapter 2? Well, in chapter 2, he was sleeping. They had to wake him up and say, come on, you're going to die. Why am I going to die? Because there's no answer found for the king's dream, and so you're going to have to die. Well, wait a second. I'll go to God and get an answer. And I interpreted a dream. Oh, really? What else did you do, Daniel? Well, about 50 years later, I wouldn't bow down. I refused not to pray like I normally did, and I gave homage to my God, so I got thrown into a lion's den. That's his life. That's Daniel's life. What was Daniel trying to do? Well, as a young Hebrew boy in chapter 1, he was trying to live his life in Israel, and when the Babylonians came in, they grabbed a hold of him and took him captive. He was trying to exist. He was trying to live. And they took him there to Israel, from Israel into Babylon, away from his family and away from his friends and away from his home. You say, poor guy, what a bad stroke of luck. No. No, God was trying to do something in his life. And then he got there with his three friends, and guess what? They found something in him that was worthwhile, so they made him a eunuch. Oh boy, that's fun for a 15-year-old. They made him a eunuch. And they put him in the king's court. Right now, if it was some of us, we'd say, well, forget it. I'd never open my Bible again. Taken from my home, taken from my country, taken from my natural tongue, taken away from my family, taken away from my home, taken away from my bed and my toy and my TV and my VCR, and brought into a foreign country where I couldn't understand what they were saying, had to learn a whole new language, given a new name, educated under a new system, a system that didn't believe in one God, didn't believe in a creator God, believed in evolution, believed in all this, and right away we'd say, well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, and oh, by the way, we got to make you a eunuch. Wait, I'm a teenager, I don't have a family yet, that's too bad. Boom. What would you do? Well, Dan, I'll tell you one thing Daniel didn't do. Daniel didn't sit around and say, well, you know what? I wonder how I'm going to witness. And I wonder what God wants me to do here, and I wonder where I should leave some tracks, and I wonder where I should do this, and I wonder... Listen, I'm making a big point of this because what you've got to realize is there's a simplicity to the Word of God which we've lost over the years and we've got to get back to it. Do you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 what Paul told those people? He said, I fear. Now, Paul was afraid of this. He said, I have a great fear that the devil, the serpent who beguiled Eve in the garden has beguiled you, Corinthians, from the simplicity that is in Christ. And beloved, we are living in a day and age when the devil has beguiled us from the simplicity of the Word of God. And it all starts in Daniel chapter 1. God desires to reveal Himself to a world. God is doing that in human history, but He uses individuals. He will use you. He will use me. But it doesn't come without a cost, a price. You say, well, wait, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Well, that's Daniel chapter 1. It's the very beginning of the story. We only read one verse. You know what it is? Let me read it for you. Verse 8. Let me just quote it for you. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. I believe that every chapter has a key point. The key point of chapter 1 is verse 8. It's the starting point of God revealing himself, and it's this. To purpose in one's heart not to defile themselves. You say that's human effort. No, it's not. Stick with me for a second. What is Old Testament defilement? What was Daniel saying? Let's put it in terms that we can all understand it. What is the starting point for God revealing Himself to me? What is the starting point for God using me? What is the starting point of my walk with the Lord? It's purposing in my heart that I wouldn't defile myself. What does it mean? Well, in the Old Testament, defilement meant two things. One is this. It was something that, it was a committing of an act that God hated. You know how many times He said, it's an aberration to me. I abhor it. It defiles. It is an aberration. I abhor it. What is God saying? When you do this, you break this law, or you do this act, I despise it. I hate it. The second point about defilement was this. It made them unceremonially clean. Isn't that true? Isn't that why it's called defiled? They were clean and ready for fellowship with God. They were clean and ready for worship and service, and they were clean. And when they did it, it just made them unfit. Now, this is so simple because it's twofold. Now, watch. Daniel purposed in his heart not to do anything that God said he hated. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to do something that would break fellowship with him and God. Isn't that true? Am I stretching it or is that biblical? Isn't that true? Isn't that what he said? Please, somebody. I'm used to talking to people. There you go. Thank you. Yes, it's true. Can I therefore then just restate Daniel 1:8 for you and make it simple and plain? Daniel purposed in his heart to only please the Lord. Is that simple? Do you know what? Do you know that today, if every one of us right now could bow our heads and say, Lord, I only want to please You, what would happen to this assembly? Do you realize how simple it is? People come up to me and they say, how do I know when I'm in the Spirit? How do I know when I'm out of the Spirit? How do I know when I'm in the flesh? How do I know when I'm enjoying the Lord? I mean, I remember in Danville one whole week where people in Bible study are just running around. We've been studying this for years. We don't know when we're in the Spirit. The Bible never tells me to run around and know when I'm in the Spirit and when I'm in the flesh. How do I know I'm this and how do I know that? Listen, there's a simplicity. The Bible has such a simplicity to it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't that simple? You say, wait a second. What's the greatest of all the commandments? They said that to the Lord. What did He say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Is that simple enough? You know what God's saying? I only require one thing of you. Love me with all your heart. I only require one thing. Seek me above all other things. I only require one thing. Please me. Do you realize if you're children, if you're a parent, you have children, do you realize how easy it would be and how what good the children child would be if they only sought to please God? If they only sought first the kingdom of God, do you see the simplicity there? You're going to raise your child saying, memorize these 680 laws. These are the 680 laws that you must know in order to be good and be a child in my house. You don't realize, do we take our shoes off on Saturday? Or do we do this on the rug? Do we do that? You know how difficult it would be? And many Christians have we've developed this great big system of all these things. It's no different than the Pharisees had. Listen. Daniel's going to go into a lion's den. When did Daniel win that victory? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to go in a fiery furnace. When did they win that victory? You know what we do? We find out at work, if we don't bow down to the boss, we're going to lose it. So we run back to the chapel and say, everybody pray that God would... Daniel didn't do that. Neither did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, Daniel didn't win that victory when he was thrown in the lion's den. He never would have got that far. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won their victory way back in chapter 1 when they purposed in their heart not to defile themselves, when they simply had a heart that said, Lord, I only want to please you. You see, this is what the unsaved heart cannot do. The New Testament tells us that they please not God. They please themselves. You're a Christian? You want to honor God? You want to witness to God? It all starts in this simple place. Lord, I only want to please you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that if I wake up in the morning or if I go to bed at night, if the last thing and the first thing I think about is, Lord, I only want to please you, that no matter what happens that day, God will honor that. Do you believe that? Do you know what the secret of chapter 1 is? The secret of chapter 1 is this, that God brought those young men, teenagers, to the place in their environment where they said, okay, Lord, we realize this. We only want to please you. And God, with that pleasing heart, gave them this answer. You will therefore have in every event of life what you need to please me. Do you realize how simple that is? In other words, God worked to get them to say, Lord, we only want to please you. And then God turned around when they had that heart and said, therefore, everything you need in life, I'll give you so that you can please me. That's the miracle of this book. That's the miracle of the fire. That's the miracle of the furnace. That's the miracle of the image. Listen, those first six chapters break into three parts. Here's what will happen. The first third of every chapter will be an impossibility. What are we going to do if we bow down? What are we going to do if we don't eat the meat the king's going to give us? We're going to die. That's an impossibility. Then there's a miracle. And then there's glory to God. Every one of the six chapters has it. An impossibility. A miracle. Glory to God. Beloved, that's what God wants to do every day of your life. I know we don't want to hear about miracles. I know we don't want to hear about it because of what's happened in movements down through history. But listen, I believe we're missing out on some of the greatest experiences of our life because we're not willing to say, I only want to please you, Lord. And I believe we're missing out because we're never getting to chapter 2 because we've never got to chapter 1. Daniel said, I only want to please you. And the next thing you know what happens? Here comes the king and he says, oh, you guys are going to eat food from my table. It's been offered to me. I'm God. It's idolatry. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, no. We've already purposed in our heart to please God. Here's an impossibility. Somebody has said this, and it's well worth understanding. It's biblical. When God wants to reveal a truth to your heart, He will always put you in impossibility. When God wants to reveal Himself, He will put you in an experience where you have no way out but death. Isn't that true? What of the fiery furnace? Who was in the fiery furnace? Oh, they had a revelation of the Son of God in the fiery furnace. Oh, do you understand why now some of us don't see great things? Do you understand now why? One, we're not willing to let God put us in a difficulty or an impossibility where the only way out is a miracle or death. Well, I'm not saying run out and jump in front of a car and say, reveal yourself or I'll die. That's foolishness. That's not what they did. They simply lived their life. They lived their life. And when he got up, they said, God, we only want to please you. That's all I want to do this morning is please you. And then what you find is this, an impossibility, a miracle, glory to God. How's God going to reveal himself? That very way in your life, that very way to people around you. You're going to get up and you're going to say, Lord, I only want to please you. Guess what? In the last 3 weeks, In the last 3 weeks, it has been revealed three people that I know intimately and personally have found out they have brain cancer and have been given 30 days, and not one of them is out of their 50s. It's incredible. And we would sit around and we would say, oh, what a tragedy. Not one of the people has said that. All three are Christians. One of them right now is sitting at Duke. She was at a Bible study. She saw a double vision. She couldn't hold her head up. That's how sick she was. She couldn't figure out what was going on. The woman's not, she's in her 50s, early 50s. They take her to the hospital. They do some tests. They send her to Duke. Give her 30 days. And you go down to visit her, and what do you see? John 3:16, in intensive care, taped on the wall. Bibles that she's giving out. Tapes of her when she was singing as a younger person, giving out, talking to everybody about the Lord. When do you think she got the strength for that experience? When she found out she had the brain tumor? No. When she purposed in her heart, way long time ago, Lord, I only want to please you. I only want to please you. You say, wait a second, there's a miracle. You know what the miracle is? The life of Christ in her right now on that bed. And the people that are seeing. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. They said, we're only teenage boys, but we want to please you, God. Next thing you know, come on, you got to eat food offered to idols. What are we upset about, boys? We just prayed about glorifying Him. Here's a chance for us to please God. And they refuse. And you know what the miracle is? That God provided health for them so that they would look fairer than those that ate the king's food. What a miracle! What a miracle! And it becomes for us a picture that when you say, I only want to please you, that God will give you everything you need. And it says this even of them, that God gave them wisdom so they were 10 times smarter than all the people in their land. God gave them that. God gives you what you need to please Him. You say, well, I only want to please Him, but you know, if I do, my husband's going to leave me. I know it. If I come vocal and if I step out for the Lord, my husband or my wife or my kids, what's going to happen? You have an option right now. Do you want to please God? Yes? Well, then you choose to please Him. And do what's pleasing to Him. And guess what? Stand by for the miracle. Stand by for it. I've seen it over and over again. That's what this whole book is about. And God will give you everything that you need for the experience so that you could please Him. Even if it's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say when they say, our God can deliver us from the fire. But if He doesn't, and guess what? Nebuchadnezzar got mad and said, pump the old coals up 7 times hotter. You say, well, that's not God giving you what you need. It's 7 times hotter. Listen, death for them was deliverance too. And God even made the fire 7 times hotter so that they wouldn't spend time in their suffering. Before they even hit in there, the other guys were dead. I mean, God is incredible. And yet we sit around with our lack of faith, and it all stems to our attitude and our desires with the heart. What God says is, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. The biggest battle in this world is for men's and women's hearts. And God wants your heart. And God wants you to say, love me. God wants you to say, I want to seek you first. God wants to hear, Lord, I only want to please you. And that's what Daniel chapter 1 is all about. You know why? Because that's the revelation of God. It's God in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God, when a person sits back and says, okay, Lord, right now, if you're saying in your heart, well, Lord, I only want to please you. Guess what? That's not you. That's God revealing Himself that He's already worked in your heart. That's not natural. Does a natural man say, like Paul in Romans 7, I with the body find another law in me, but with the mind I desire to serve the law of Christ? Does the fleshly mind say, I desire to serve the law of Christ? Or does it say, as Romans 8 says, that the natural fleshly mind is at enmity with God, is warring with God? You see, that's the whole purpose of chapter 1. God's desiring to do a work in your heart to get you to say, Lord, I only want to please you. And I believe that's a great work. In Song of Solomon, she said what? His kisses are better than wine. You know what she was saying? She's saying, I've tried all the world has to offer. I tried all the pleasures of the world has to offer. And guess what? They don't satisfy like intimacy with my God. You know what she's saying? I only want to please you. She didn't get there on her own. You look around at some Christian friends, you might even be your children, might be your spouse, and you think, boy, they profess to be Christians, but they don't seem to love the Lord, and look what they're going through. Why? God's going to do a work in their heart He's saying, drink from those cisterns. Drink from the things of those of the world. You'll find out they have nothing for you. And all of a sudden, like the prodigal, it says they come to their senses. And they say, I had it better. My father's servants had it better. And they go running back. Isn't that just the way it is with us? There's just something about us. And listen, Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego said that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can make that fire hot because we only want to please God. You know, for years, people have been perplexed about where's Daniel in that chapter. Daniel must have compromised because Daniel wasn't with him. Daniel must have bowed down. And then other commentators say, no, you know what? Daniel was in a far country because he was an ambassador. He wasn't around. And he tried to make justification. They tried to make a big deal. But listen, that's not the point. God didn't allow Daniel to be in that experience so that you could know, listen, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing on their own feet spiritually. And they weren't hanging on to Daniel's coattails. What is God trying to do in the book of Daniel? It's the same thing He's trying to do today, the same thing He's been trying to do all down through human history, and that's reveal Himself. God wants to use you. But it starts with a heart that simply says this, Lord, I only want to please You. You know, when you do camp work and youth work and you travel as much as we do, there's always questions. Can I be a Christian and do this? Or is this right to do as a Christian? Or is this wrong to do? You don't have those questions when you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I only want to please You. Because you know this, it's not pleasing to the Lord. It is pleasing to the Lord. It's just there. It's so simple. You see the simplicity of a believer? Why do we make it so complicated? It starts with the heart. Does your heart say, Lord, I only want to please You? You'll make it through the fiery furnace. Lord, do I only want to please You? You'll make it through any experience of life. You know why? Because with that heart, God will give you everything you need. In chapter 2, there's an impossibility. There's a dream. The king won't even say the dream. He knows it, but he says this, I know that you're charlatans, and I know you want some more time, and I know you're all fakes and phonies. And you know what Daniel says? Give me a few minutes. I got to go back to my God. He can tell us the answer. And we say Daniel had the gift of interpreting dreams. Daniel didn't have a gift of interpreting dreams. They thought that. But listen, Daniel had a true and living God that he could go back to. What was God doing in Daniel chapter 2? In Daniel chapter 2, you know what God was trying to do? He had given a revelation to Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he, in that dream? The dream was from who? Hello, people. God. God was trying to get to Nebuchadnezzar and reveal Himself and reveal about His kingdom. But old Neb was spiritually dead. And old Neb couldn't understand it because to be spiritually minded is to know spiritual things. Spiritually dead people can't. And that was the whole point. This wasn't just a random dream. This was a picture of God trying to give revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. But he needed a spiritual mind. So here comes along Daniel. And Daniel says, oh, God's trying to talk to you. I'll go back to Him. And Daniel goes to God on his knees. And James 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. And he does. And God gives him the wisdom. And he goes back and says, oh, king, don't fear. My God is alive. He's told me what He's trying to teach you. This is all God's trying to teach you. He's trying to teach you that there are going to be four kingdoms. And four kingdoms are going to raise up in a great image of a man. And thou, O king, art the head of gold. God's trying to reveal Himself to Nebuchadnezzar. God's trying to reveal Himself. And in chapter 2, you have what He's trying to do in Revelation. What is God trying to reveal about Himself to humanity? What is God trying to reveal Himself about in your life? It's the revelation that He got in chapter 2. I tell you, this is so wonderful. I wish we had time to spend more time on what we're doing here. We're just fleeting through two chapters of Daniel so quickly, but it's important that you understand what's happening here. He gives the revelation to Nebuchadnezzar and to Daniel is the revelation of God, how God works in human history. He allows man's kingdoms to raise up to the greatest heights they can get. Right? And then at the culmination of that, when the statue is complete, a rock, a little pebble from heaven, not made with hands, shoots out of heaven and hits the image. Not in the feet like we think with the clay, just hits the image and shatters the whole image into dust. And a great wind blows it all away. And what's left there in his dream is just a little pebble and it grows into a great mountain. You say, whew, human history something. Beloved, that isn't human history. That is how God reveals Himself. That is the revelation God wants the world to know. And it's this, the work of God in your heart and mind. What is God trying to do in your life? Watch this. God is allowing all the fleshly kingdoms in my life to raise their ugly head so that Christ can come and smash them to dust. And then the Holy Spirit blows them away. And what's left is Christ. And guess what? He grows and he grows and he grows. That's not just human history, beloved. That's what God's trying to do in your life. And until He does that, your problems are still your problems. Regeneration is not the same as reformation. Until it's crushed, and until the Holy Spirit blows it away, you'll always have that problem. That's why a lot of Christians go through the same cycles, to the same sin, back to the same place. Because listen, that rock's got to come and crush it. And that's what He's trying to do in human history. That's what He's going to do through governmental history. And that's what He's trying to do through your life and mine. And that's the revelation He tried to give Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the revelation He tried to give Daniel. That's the revelation He's trying to give you. And what He's trying to teach us, it all starts here. Lord, I only want to please You. You do? Here comes that rock. Boom! Smash the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of man that are in your life. He's going to smash them one at a time. Boom, boom, boom. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to blow it all away like chaff, it says. And you know what? That little pebble is going to grow and grow and grow to where by the time in chapter 6, when Daniel refuses to remember, they try to trick him. That's why, listen, they were the kingdoms of men still, and he was the rock growing. And you know what they said? We got to search his life. We can't find anything wrong with it. Why? Because all they could see was the rock growing. Beloved, this is what the message of Daniel was 2,700 years ago. This is the message for our society today. It is exactly what God desires to do. And here's what it is. Revealed in your heart and bring you to a place where you say, Lord, I only want to please You. And then when you do, that pebble's going to come out of heaven. And it's going to start crushing. And all those humanly, fleshly kingdoms that you have. And beloved, we have a lot of them in us. Believe us. That's why this body's got to be transformed. It's got to be put in the ground. It's got to be raptured, or it's got to be replaced with that body from heaven. But listen, when it does, as it's going, as we're living, and as you keep saying, Lord, I only want to please You, you're going to make a lot of enemies. Because there's people out there that have no rock growing in their life. They can't understand why your kingdoms are crushed and how you're living under a new life. And they can't figure it out. And they're going to search you. And I'll tell you this, they're going to look for the things in your life that they can trick you with and that they can deceive you with. Because listen, it's not that they hate you. They just can't figure out what's going on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would please, for a second. Just so you don't think I'm stretching this. This is the same process Peter talks about. You want to know about witnessing. Listen, don't you dare pick up a track. Don't you dare try to share a verse. Don't you dare try to hand a Bible to somebody if you don't first start in your life by living and saying, I only want to please You. Because it's useless. Now, please, don't get me wrong. God uses a tract. God uses Bibles. But they are not the same as living. That's testimony. That's witness. I don't ever read of any place where Daniel ever quoted a verse. Do you? I don't remember anywhere in the book of Daniel, the whole book of Daniel is a verse now, but I don't ever remember any place where Daniel ever said anything about their religion and his religion. He lived it. And they said what? Daniel is the one whose God is a true and living God. Right? Because he lived it. That's what it all boils down to. That's what the world's looking for. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may be suffice us, or it's sufficient, to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, exceedings of wine, or excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot and speaking evil of you. That's what he's saying. It's the same thing he's saying that Daniel's been telling us. Sufficient for the time is when you live with those kingdoms in your life and you live to your own lust and the lust of the worlds and the lust of the nation. But now you're not. And now God's working a work in your life. He's crushing those. Now you're living and desiring to live by the will of God, and you want to do the will of God, and they think it's strange and they can't figure it out. And they're going to speak evil of you. But listen, all you have to do, you say, how simple is it? Here's how simple it is. Can you simply say, I only want to please you, God? Live your life then. And I'll tell you this, if you do, God will give you everything you need to live it out. That's what this book's about. We'll see it again tonight. I'm sorry, went over time. I forgot you had a clock and it works. Look at that. Anyway, we'll see the rest of it tonight. We'll go on with it and we'll try and see a little bit more about what God's doing in these first six chapters, and I think it'll just thrill your heart because it becomes very practical and very helpful. And it becomes very simple when you start to realize how we can go off track. Lord, I only want to please you. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege again of opening your word and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And our Father, as we've been looking at the life of Daniel, we realized he was a true living man, just like we are, human beings, flesh and blood, spirit and soul. And our Father, he was able to live a life of 70 plus years of one miracle after another because he simply had this desire that he wanted to please you. And Father, we desire to please you again this morning. Father, we confess like Peter, sometimes we don't live like we do. But you know all things. You know, Father, our heart. You know that we desire to please you. And our Father, we think of the Lord Jesus, for this was his attitude. When he came not to please himself, but he said, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He thought it not a thing to be held on to, but he had this mind in him that he esteemed others better than himself. And so our Father, we just thank you for speaking again to our hearts. And our Father, we would just commit ourselves into your care. We know, our Father, that some are going through difficulties even now. And Father, we realize the victory is in that heart that just simply says, Lord, I want to please you. And as there's an impossibility, we pray, our Father, for the miracle that would reveal yourself, not only to them, but to the world around us. What a privilege it is to live our lives like Daniel for 70 years and to live in such a way that we could reveal the true and the living God. And so we just thank you for that blessed privilege this morning. We thank you again and ask now that you receive of our thanksgiving as we do so in Jesus' name.